ad-free episodes and more available at patreon.com/tapesfromthedarkside.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tapes from the Dark Side contains descriptions of violence and sexuality. Listener discretion is advised.
Everyone has a bit of a fascination with the dark side. I myself have always loved the dark side as well. I think it's something that everyone secretly longs for and wants.
A place that is just as real, but not as brightly lit.
Picture of a happy couple living near the city of Houston, a quiet suburb in the mid-1980s. Man leaves for work just as the sun sets on the horizon. It's the night shift. He kisses his wife's cheek and his infant son on the forehead before getting in his car and pulling out of the driveway, leaving them alone in the house for the approaching night. While it seems like an ordinary day in the chapter of the lives of this family, in a small dreamy Texas town, it would soon turn into a literal nightmare. This is Tapes from the Dark Side. A woman goes about her nightly routine with no unusual happenings. She feeds herself and her baby, watches the evening news, tidies up around the house, and as night embraces full dark, she begins to ease into her bedtime routine, brushing her teeth, getting into her pajamas, but all of that is interrupted unexpectedly, by a knock at her door. She peers through the curtains and sees a half-obscured face of an unfamiliar man. His presence is unsettling. She announces that she's busy and cannot come to the door, but the stranger knocks again. And again she asks, this time with a hint of uncontrollable tremble, ever so slightly in her voice, to
please go away and come back again tomorrow.
But the stranger knocks a third time. She knows something is not right. In fact, she feels something is horribly and terribly wrong. She gathers her infant son and ascends the steps to the bedroom on the second floor. As she reaches the bedroom, she hears a pounding sound on the front door, this time more than a knock. It sounds like the man is trying to break down the door. She panics and dials 911. This is the unedited, full recording of that 911 phone call.
Police department.
The man is trying to burst in my door. I don't know who he is. He said, let me in.
He's doing what?
He's trying to break in my door.
What is your address?
29.
What's your name, ma'am?
Karen.
it if you can and come right back to the phone. What? Are you still with me? Tell him you've got the police on the phone.
I've got the police on the phone? Who are you? Why are you here?
He's in the bedroom with her.
I've got the police on the phone. I've got the police on the phone.
So many questions we have after hearing this call. What was the full name of the woman who made the call? We know her name is Karen, but nothing else. Is she okay? Who was the intruder? And perhaps most importantly, is the baby okay? Here is what I found. The first place I came across this 911 call was on YouTube. It was in the context of one of those creepy 911 call compilations. And now you know what true crime podcasters do in their free time. The first lead I got on the video was that it seemed to be part of some kind of educational program. In another YouTube clip, I found that this video was bookended by a few lines of commentary. I'll play that for you now.
At night, in a city, there is a woman at home with her child. A strange man comes to her door. She is frightened and calls the police. This is the police recording of that phone call. It is frightening and real.
Police department.
The woman on the phone was raped. And the terror that she experienced that night is the kind that most women fear. The stranger who grabs you on a dark street, in a parking lot, or breaks into your home in the middle of the night. But there is another man who poses even a greater threat. He's not a stranger. He's a boyfriend, a date, a man you work with, the man who lives next door. If you are one of the nearly 1 million women who'll be raped this coming year, the chances are at least 50% and probably greater that the rapist will be someone you know.
Now, it's interesting that the commentator specifically says the call is real, but could that be for dramatic effect? I tracked down a one Concord Media Group who still distributes the video under the name Someone You Know, Acquaintance Rape. It's 29 minutes long and you can rent it on Vimeo, which is what I did, and to my consternation, no further information whatsoever was provided about the phone call, not even in the credits. What we do know is that this VHS video was created in 1986 in the US by a group called DyStar Television. That's D-Y-S-T-A-R. And the video was hosted by a man named Colin Siador, or Sidor. His is the voice you hear in the intro. Gemma Harris, who was our writer and researcher for the previous season, season 4, in the Chandler Bogle case, jumped in to see if she could find anything. She even reached out to Concord Media via their website, asking for background and further info on the call. She said they replied with only, quote,
"I get the impression the 911 call is genuine, although the sound quality is better than I would have expected."
They could offer no further details on the 911 call featured in the video, and with that, this particular lead ran dry. In the YouTube comments section where the clip of the phone call was reposted, there are inevitably a number of internet sleuths throwing around their own theories. There were 160 comments, and I won't go through all of them. But here are a few that caught my eye. A user by the name of Sarah the Librarian states, quote,
"I researched each call because I'm that person. I have a background in law enforcement and I've seen some truly horrible stuff. And fake calls circling around piss me off because it takes away from the real crimes and horrifying things people will do to each other and themselves. Then I went back to school and got an MLS to become a librarian. Because no murders or suicides or rapists or murderers or victims anymore."
It's not just you. That sentence doesn't really make sense.
"I love books and researching is my specialty and hobby. The second video called Karen Alone with Baby is fake. It was made in the 1980s and it was a training tape for new 911 operators. Karen is an actress.
I'll note that this exact comment appears copy and pasted from somewhere else because it references other calls that were not in this particular YouTube clip or even the full training video, which I watched. I tried to message Sarah the librarian through YouTube for more info, but that was months ago and I never heard back. Not to mention the sentence that doesn't quite make sense. It also seems that Karen alone with a baby, at least as it's featured in the video, is not a training tape for new 911 operators. Although we cannot 100% rule out that perhaps the original 911 recording was made for that purpose. Another YouTube comment from Hokey7373 says,
I found some info on Google about this call called the profiling on CBS. Karen said she was attacked by the man three times, but this was the first time it happened. Her husband was working late at night. She said she wished the man was caught. The man ran away after he attacked her because he thought he saw the police.
Now, I tried to look for a show called The Profiling on CBS, and I couldn't find any information on a show of that name, so I don't know if this person was mistaken or perhaps it was some obscure show that was never aired again, or at least whose credits never made it to the internet. And the last YouTube comment that we'll take a look at comes from Dr. Frick 45. I know, a very official sounding person, right? He says,
this call is fake. This was used for 911 operator training. In addition, we didn't hear a man's voice, nor have he heard a door bust open. And we didn't hear a baby crying, since babies react quickly to loud sounds. There's a lot of inconsistencies in that call, since it is hard to believe that this is a real 911 call.
Now, I read that verbatim. It was riddled with poor spelling and bad grammar. But nonetheless, Dr. Frick 45 makes a good point. If you listen back to that call, it's true, you can't hear any sound from a baby or any sound of a door breaking in. And I began to think that maybe originally the call was created for some kind of training purpose. And I lied. I will bring up one last YouTube comment, one about Lisa Germano. Quote,
this looks 80s as fuck. It's a fairly old call, but I didn't think it was that old. It was actually used on a Lisa Germano song from the 90s.
And this comment is what led us down our final rabbit hole in this case, bringing some very interesting information about this mystery 911 caller. Coming up on Tapes from the Dark Side.
And the cops didn't get to her in time. And the story goes that she was raped and murdered.
That's a real tape.
Oh, that's totally real. And at first I wasn't going to put it on.
If you want to skip the ads and get uncompressed episodes in the highest audio quality, plus bonuses like stickers and merch discounts, then join us on patreon.com/tapesfromthedarkside. It takes less than a minute to sign up. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. In the episode right before this one, right here in the Tapes from the Dark Side podcast feed, you heard a full episode for a show called What Was That Like? It was about a man who had a horrifying encounter with a grizzly bear. If you missed that episode, please go back and check it out. It's called Featured Episode, What Was That Like? Dan Was Mauled by a Grizzly Bear. In the podcast, you'll see that each episode is a conversation with a normal, regular person who has been through some extremely unusual happening. This is a show I feel confident recommending because it's one I actually listen to. A couple other episodes I'd throw out there is Diana Survived a Plane Crash and Whitney Was Shot 12 Times. The host of the show, Scott, doesn't just tell you what happened. He has the person who went through the experience come on the show and tell you firsthand. I like his interview style because it's not a lot of interruptions. He'll ask a few leading questions and then he gets out of the way and lets the guests tell their story. There are quite a few in his feed that feature actual 911 audio, just like our show does. And another cool thing is that he covers a wide variety of topics. He also had someone who won over $100,000 on Wheel of Fortune, a lady who sent a text message to the wrong number, and 3 years later, she ended up getting married to that person. Now, because this is Tapes from the Dark Side, I'll throw out one more episode that I really enjoyed. I don't know if enjoyed's the right word, but that was very gripping. and impacted me. It's called Michael Was Abused with a Sewing Machine. It's about a horrific child abuse story. So anyways, go take a listen to their episode that's in our feed, and please also go subscribe to Scott's show. It's available on all pod players, including Spotify, or go to their website, whatwasthatlike.com. Lisa Germano released the album Geek the Girl in 1994. She was 36 years old at the time, and it would be her third and most well-received album to date. Spin Magazine would later go on to rate it as the 84th best album of the 1990s, an impressive feat. Lisa got her start playing for John Mellencamp. She was with his band creating and touring for around a decade before she embarked on her solo career. Her music stands in stark contrast to that of her former bandmate and mentor.
So I used to play with John Mellencamp, and a lot of people seem to think that that was like a prison. And I don't understand that way of thinking, because I love the stuff we did. We created a really cool family of musicians where he allowed us all to be creative. And when you're allowed to be creative, that's when you grow. And so through the stuff I did learning to play with John, I kind of came into my own thing. And some people are just shocked that my music doesn't sound like a girl, John Mellencamp. And then other people are shocked that I played with him. So to me, it's like another box. Forget it. You know, people are people.
Lisa's songs are dark and gritty, and there's something characteristically grunge about them, but they're also atmospheric and poetic. She sings about failed relationships, depression, grief, and the feeling of being an outcast or at least not belonging. She explains in an interview from 1994 with Rolling Stone magazine, quote,
"I've never been cool enough in any situation. I'm not enough of a druggie to be with the druggies. I'm not enough of a cheerleader to be with the cheerleaders. And that's what Geek the Girl is all about. You're a geek because you sleep with someone because you're too scared to leave. You're a geek because you have dreams of a relationship that will probably never happen. And yet you'd like to believe that maybe your very geekness, your weirdness, what makes you strange, might also be your gift."
That feeling of not belonging is somewhat of a universal experience, I think. Even to those of us who do seemingly fit in on the surface, report this kind of imposter syndrome. Even when we do make it, we often feel like we don't deserve the success or acceptance that we get. And that's what I think makes Lisa Germano's music so relatable. Being able to create something like that takes a lived experience. Just like with true blues music, you really can't sing the blues until you've gone through it. And in learning about Lisa's 36 years up to the release of Geek the Girl, you can see that she has certainly lived through her share of heartache. Her 8-year marriage resulted in divorce, which morphed into a sort of chronic bout of nearly a half decade of depression, which came with overwhelming waves of self-doubt, something that she suffered from even from an early age. From Germano, quote,
"When I was little and would write, I would feel so free. But then somebody, somewhere, whether it was a teacher, brother, I don't know, but all of a sudden it was like, you're a piece of shit, you can't write, you're irritating people. So I found it easier to just go upstairs and cry, and I never finished anything."
Despite these struggles, Lisa would go on to have a successful career. She released 10 albums of her own and was also featured on dozens of other records with other artists, including David Bowie, the Indigo Girls, Simple Minds, Jewel, Sheryl Crow, Iggy Pop, and many others. One of the things that she went through and shaped Lisa's music was her 3-year encounter with a stalker. Lisa would write a song called A Psychopath that features the 911 call that we have been investigating. And the reason that's important is that she gave an interview talking about her encounter with the stalker and also about tracking down this 911 call and her decision to use it in her song.
Lisa Germano first came to public attention as the violinist for rocker John Mellencamp back in the late 1980s. Since then, Germano's gone on to write and record her own music. In 1994, she released an album called Geek the Girl. The album features a chilling song called A Psychopath. It's based on Germano's real-life experience with a stalker, as she told Anne Strange Champs.
First he wrote me at a P.O. box, because I had my little first record out, and there was a P.O. box on the record. And he wrote me this letter about how I changed his life and how I've got to get off this rock and roll roller coaster and come back to him, and that God says we have to be together. And, you know, I read it and I just went, whoa, I don't know about this guy. And then we were at a concert in Indianapolis, at a John Mellencamp concert, and the security was always good, but there's so much family in Indiana that they weren't as careful as they should be. And in the break, I got a knock on my door, and I just figured it was somebody I knew. And I opened the door, and this guy that I never saw before just, like, went, Lisa, thank you so much for saving my life. And I slammed my door and then started kicking it so that security would hear. And they came, and I said, who's that guy? Like, what's going on? And anyway, so I knew that it was him. And then there just kept being, he came to John Mellencamp's house once, and John had him arrested. He just followed us around. And anyway, then I moved to New Orleans, and I lived there for about a year and a half, and I forgot about this guy. Then I moved back to Indiana. And the first week I lived in my house there, I got a call from him, and he goes, hey, this is Darren. Just wanted to welcome you home. And that's all he said. And so I knew that this guy knew where I lived, he knew where I was, he was following me, and the cops wouldn't do anything about it.
Were you scared?
I was terrified. I was terrified all the time. I slept with a baseball bat next to the bed and a thing of mace, and I was making this record at home, and I thought it was going to be a record about silly situations that girls get into. But the songs that came out were really, really way more serious. And so then I started writing about this situation, and I wanted it to be scary because the cops wouldn't help me. And then my ex-husband got me this tape of this lady who was calling a 911 call, and the cops didn't get to her in time. And the story goes that she was raped and murdered.
That's a real tape.
Oh, that's totally real. And at first I wasn't going to put it on, but then I thought, no, I want you to feel fear when you feel this song, because it's terrifying to be stalked. It's not a joke, and you can't live your life normally. You see him everywhere. You go, he might be here, he might be there, and you can't sleep. And so anyway, the night that I mixed that song at home, I was so scared that I called my ex-husband and went over to his house to sleep, because it was like, but I knew that the song made it. I knew that I got what I wanted, because I couldn't even sleep in the house. I was so scared.
Shut the bedroom door.
A baseball bat, a baseball bat beside my bed. I'll wait around and wait around and wait. I hear a noise. Well, I hear something. I am alone. You in again. I'm paralyzed.
Did writing and recording the song help you deal with the situation? Help it put it in the past?
It does, yeah. The writing about it does. And he actually did stop for a while. And then I heard, like, a year later that he got married to make himself look more presentable in public, you know, to say, see, I'm not stalking her anymore. And then, like, 6 months later, he tried to stab his wife, and he actually stabbed himself 7 times. This is the last I've heard of him.
Do you know whether your stalker ever actually heard your song at all? I mean, I guess I'm wondering whether there was any after effect of having written an entire song about him.
Well, the thing is I don't know, because he, honest to God, stopped bugging me. And there was a side of me that thought maybe he heard it and he was embarrassed. But then I thought, no, that would have given him power. God, she wrote a song about me. So I really don't know why he quit bothering me, but it really was after I put the record out that I got no more phone calls, and I didn't hear anything from him. And then Then I went on tour, so the fear started to go away. And when I would come home, I wouldn't think about it as much. It took quite a while to not think he was there all the time.
I tried to contact Lisa to ask her a few follow-up questions about the 911 call that was used in her song. Now, you have to remember that Lisa is 63 years old now. She's retired from music, and even her long-standing website, lisagermano.com, is now offline. We managed to get in touch with Malcolm Byrne, who produced the Geek the Girl album, on which the track is featured. But he was no longer in touch with Lisa and could only provide us with a Facebook link to her profile. I did reach out to Lisa through Facebook, but if you're not friends with someone, their message goes straight to your spam inbox and usually you won't see it. As far as I know, you won't even get a notification that someone messaged you. And so our story would end here, if it wasn't for one final interview that I tracked down from 2003. There was no audio recording, it was just a written transcript. But this interviewer poses the exact question I wanted to ask Lisa. Quote, "Where did you find the phone conversation?" From Lisa.
"My ex-husband works at a TV library. What's it called? Communications? Anyway, he heard about this tape. It's a public domain tape that they played on many rape documentaries. And he played it for me. And I just thought, well, oh my God, I can't possibly use that. That's too intense. But then I started thinking about it. I'm writing about things that I'm fearing, and she's actually going through it. And nobody would help her. And that man at the end of the proper story, the reason why they play that tape is because the cops didn't take her seriously. And when they finally came, it was too late. He had raped her and killed her. So that fear that you're feeling is absolutely fucking real."
I tried to find the name of Lisa's ex-husband, but came up with absolutely nothing. I also tried to figure out the name of her stalker, just to see if I could find a news article or something about it, but also came up with nothing. And so I want to throw this out there. On the off chance that Lisa Germano happens to hear this episode, or maybe someone hears this episode that knows her and lets her know, if she's willing to talk with us or provide us with any information whatsoever, I would personally be forever grateful. My email is tapesfromthedarksidepod@gmail.com. which, if you're listening, is also a way you can get in touch with us if you have feedback or case suggestions. I want to close this episode today by posing a question to you, dear listener. Why do you listen to true crime? I'd actually really like to hear from you, so if you get a chance, go to tapesfromthedarkside.com. On the bottom right of the screen, tap the microphone button, and you can leave us a voicemail. We might even play it on a future show. Here's my theory, or at least why I like true crime. I think it's the controlled feeling of helplessness. True helplessness or powerlessness is an awful feeling. Like Lisa, I've gone through periods of my life where extreme depression and anxiety was overwhelming. I remember vividly driving to the grocery store just to sit in my car for half an hour because the fear of social interaction was too much, and I'd just drive home without any food. That kind of anxiety was debilitating, and I'm very grateful I no longer suffer from it in that extreme. With horror movies and true crime shows, I'm able to experience that same fear in a controlled setting. I can pause the movie, I can pause the podcast, and I know that no matter how scary the story is, the traumatic events are not happening to me. It's about someone else, and maybe it's that distance that allows me to process my own feelings of anxiety. I'm able to experience a situation of powerlessness in a position of power. So that's the first reason, but I also think there's something else going on, and maybe it's just a subconscious part of us, or part of myself, that believes there might be something I could learn in a true crime story that might help me avoid the same kind of terrible situation in my own life. Something that could prevent me from becoming a victim myself. And that's why I think stories like the one we examined today are perhaps the most terrifying, because even in a controlled setting, it pushes the boundaries of that kind of fantasy. Whether this specific phone call is real or not is somewhat irrelevant. We know that this very thing has happened before, and unfortunately, it will happen again. The terrifying reality is this: horrible and unpreventable things happen to good, upstanding people. And equally terrifying, while we can minimize our chances of being a victim, there seems to be nothing we can do to prevent it entirely. Thank you for tuning in today to Tapes from the Dark Side. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a review on Apple or Spotify, and most importantly, share the show with a friend. Send them this episode and see what they think. I want to thank our sponsors today, the podcast What Was That Like? Go and give them a listen, and also Repod, that's R-E-P-O-D. We are now offering our premium feed through Repod. You can get 1 month free when you sign up today. Just go and download the Repod app on Apple or Android and search for Tapes from the Dark Side. We are creating some very cool metal enamel lapel pins. There is still time to sign up and get one of the first batch if you go to patreon.com/tapesfromthedarkside and sign up to the appropriate tier. We will get one to you. We also have bonus episodes, after shows, merch discounts, and much more. That's patreon.com/tapesfromthedarkside. Thank you to our newest Darksiders, Caitlin Koenig, Sarah Hilliard, and Kelly Gaudet. And most importantly, our producers who make it all possible. We currently have 5 producers: Brooke Shell, Christy Ramsher, Sherry Sly, Erica Walters, and Pencil Junkie. You can become a producer too and help this show continue to grow. More than half of our funding now comes from our Patreon supporters. I really can't tell you guys how much it means to me. Thank you so much. We have new t-shirts, which we've already sold about a dozen of them. Go to tapesfromthedarkside.com and at the very top, there's a link to our merch site. In the next day or two, we are going to be releasing a bonus episode on our premium feed featuring Brandon Hall from Music City 911. He's a police dispatcher and he is going to help us analyze the phone call from today's episode. I think it's going to be a fascinating after show, probably one of the best we've done so far. So if you want to get access to that, it will also be on Patreon. Again, I want to thank Gemma Harris for helping us research for this episode. Thank you to Augusta Trevororum, who we used his original music in the show, and also to 2600, who allowed us to adapt his song for our main theme. A big thank you to OnlyAngels.free website for the interview transcript with Lisa Germano. Thank you to PennyBlackMusic.co.uk for their interview with Lisa, and also to Mark Kemp of the Rolling Stone, whose 1994 interview you also heard clips of. Remember that the dark side is always here, waiting for you to listen. Until next time, try to enjoy the daylight.
A dark side. Yes, God.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.